First of all, I just want to let you know I'm very honored to come and be able to be with you today. And humbled any time that God calls someone like me to preach his word. And so I want to say thank you for that. Like Don said, I've been here several times. We did a big Sunday school conference, a statewide Sunday school conference here several years ago. And then also a good friend of mine who lives in the area, Russ Connolly, I don't know if you would know Russ or not, we did his daughter's wedding here. And so, and just really thrilled to be able to be with you and to be with my good friend today. Have you ever thought how easy it is to miss the point of things? Sometimes we get focused on so many things. Now, just so you know, if I kind of go start running a rabbit trail today, let me just say I still got chemo brain. So I can blame it on that, I guess. So anyway. But I hope I will not do that. And so today I really want to talk about missing the point. Sometimes it's so easy for that to happen. And so if you would, I think we have it on the screen. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, or your phone, or your iPad, whatever you're carrying with you, to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 8. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you again for the privilege and the opportunity to come and share with these sweet people your word. I pray, God, today that, Lord, that you would be glorified in all that happens and that Jesus would be lifted up. Father, you're such a gracious and sweet God. And, Lord, we thank you for that. And, Father, I pray now, God, that you would simply use me as a medium, as a channel through which to communicate your word to these folks. And Father, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins, just like everyone else here. Sin dwells within us, according to Paul. And Father, it is only by your grace, Father, that you work in our lives. And we thank you for that. Now, Father, I pray, God, today that that your will would be done, that we, all of us here today, would be challenged. And Father, I pray, God, today that we would forget the things that are not important and really remember the things that are important. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Now, it's really kind of interesting looking at the world that we live in. So many distractions. One of the things that I do, I really love doing, I really have a passion for, I'm coming up probably, I have about 2.5 more years at the convention. What I really have passion for, I love pastoring, and I love doing crisis response with first responders and especially with law enforcement. And so, matter of fact, worked with a team out of Wake Forest Baptist Hospital over there where we cover a 10-area region in doing crisis response with first responders. In my own county, I lead a team of 12 people who is a crisis response team. And anytime traumatic things take place, we're usually called to the scene and then work with first responders after the scene is really what we do. So I have a great deal of passion in doing that. And so I'm very familiar with distractions, how easy it is to lose focus. As a matter of fact, you know, you may have your iPhone stuck up, using it for GPS, at the exact same time through AirPods or through some wireless piece or through Bluetooth on you, you'll be talking to someone, and the next thing you know, Siri is saying, "Make a right, make a right, make a right." But at the exact same time, you're so busy in your conversation, you pass and go right down, and then you get kind of like, "What have I done? What's taking place here?" It's easy to be distracted. One of the biggest tools, I think, that Satan uses against the church, against God's people, against those who have been called out, that Satan uses as a tool to distract us. I think sometimes probably one of the greatest sins that the church commits is focusing on good things rather than focusing on the best. Or one of the things that we know that even companies that have really grown and have really become very healthy and begin to see more cash coming in are companies who went from good to great. And so one of the things that can happen to us as believers, as churches, we can focus on things that may be good, but they're not great. And so sometimes it's very easy for us to miss the point. Next slide, please. And so as we begin to look at this, we see there in verse number 6 to where the question was asked. And it says, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, I want you to think about this. When we look at this story, this is a post-resurrection story. Okay, Jesus had been risen from the dead, and he had spent time with his disciples. And now in Acts chapter 1, we begin to see that the ascension is going to take place. Now, I don't know about you, but I just find it really interesting. Here we see disciples who had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They had walked with him in his ministry for 3 years. They were there, for example, when he touched the blind eyes, and all of a sudden they were able to see. You remember the naked dude, if you read about the story, who lived in the graveyard. You remember the story about him? He was in the graveyard, and the scripture said that no one could tame him at all, that no one could even bind him at all, that he would scream out and that he would break the ropes that were put around him. They witnessed this. And then they saw Jesus. They were with him when they saw Jesus walk up and begin to have conversation with him. And all of a sudden, the scripture says that the demons came out of him. And then you begin to read in that narrative, one of the next things that happened was that the scripture says that he was clothed and he was in his right mind. And he was wanting to tell the people all that Jesus had done for him. How about the little girl? They were there with Jesus when they saw the little girl, and she was dead. And they were there, and they witnessed this. What they witnessed was Jesus took her hand and basically said, young maiden, arise. And she came back to life. They saw all of these things. How about the guy, Lazarus? You remember him? I mean, he was kind of a stinking dude, according if you read the scripture, because he had been dead so long that his body had begun to decay. And so all of a sudden they were with him, and then they witnessed when Jesus said at the tomb, Lazarus, come forth! And this man who had been dead literally came back out of the tomb. They saw that. They heard all the stories, all the parables, all the things that Jesus had told about loving your neighbor. They heard all of that when he defined who the neighbor was. They got all of that, and then all of a sudden we come here and they're wanting to know, Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And I imagine Jesus looked at them and went like, still don't get it. You still don't get it. We see, folks, sometimes we can do things. We can do important things. We can do good things. But at the same time, we can really miss the point. The point of this was Jesus. The point of this was the gospel. And that's what we need to be focused on more than anything else. We need to be focused on the gospel. The gospel is so important. As a matter of fact, it is the gospel that can only transform your life. When you look at other religions, and I'm friends with a lot of people of other religions, one of the things I do in my life, I try to spend once a week time meeting with people who are not like me, to be able to learn from them. Also to build conversation, to be able to build trust. And so, but in all other religions, you have people who try to transform themselves from the outside in. That's simply called behavior modification. Rather than Christianity, rather than the gospel that transforms us from the inside out. From the inside out, it's where that we are transformed. It's the point of the gospel. So let me ask, do we often get distracted with missing the point? Because we can miss it in our families. We can miss it with our friends. We can miss it in places that we work. At times, we can even miss it in the church. We can miss the point. We can be so busy doing things that church kind of becomes the God rather than the followers gathering together with Jesus being the head of the church. It can happen anywhere. I don't know if it could ever happen here or not, but probably it could. I don't know a whole lot about your church. I know you got a great facility. You got one rocking dude that's kind of like your interim pastor. I mean, that's, you know, that really kind of happens. You got that? I know that. But you see, I think it can happen because it happens in our lives. We can miss the point. But Jesus kind of set things straight. Next slide, please. And so Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." And so here we begin to see how God is really in control. God is in control of all things. God is in control of your church. Even when we make good decisions, bad decisions, right decisions, whatever we want to make, God is still in control of the church. This is his church. It's his church. You who are believers, you belong to him. But God is in control. He's called you out. You're a counterculture to all the culture that's going on around. Pastor, I learned a lot. My sister, I learned a lot. My pastor friends sitting there. I learned a lot back 4 years ago. Back when Don knew me, for example, we were working together. It's kind of like I was, you know, kind of like one of those little college dorm refrigerators with a head stuck on top. It's kind of like, kind of look like that. You know, I tell people like I'm always on balance because my bubble is in the middle always. But one of the things that happened, I went into a weight loss program called cancer. Lost 100 pounds. Can I tell you, don't try it. Try something else. Don't try that. That's not a good weight loss program. And so I remember one night after my wife and I had been to the doctor over to the cancer center. Now, I tell you why, I love that place. I love the cancer center. And so after my wife and I had been over there, come back, and my doctor said, "Your cancer may be at a place to where we're not going to be able to do anything." And I said, well, just tell me the whole truth. So he laid out the whole scoop for me. And so one of the things that happened, I came home that night, and where we live, up over in Stokes County, just north of here, about a 45-minute drive from here, Don. I remember going out that night, and at our house, we have two things. We have a man cave, and we have a she-den, okay? The dudes, we do some discipling with some dudes out in the man cave, and she has this place, man, like plants all over the place. So I went out there and sat in a rocker. And that night, I began to talk to God. One of the things I did that night, if you want to know anything about the book of Job, ask me. I literally ate the book of Job up. And one of the things that had taken place with the book of Job is that not only did I eat the book of Job up, but the book of Job ate me up. You know, sometimes we talk about reading the Bible. Have you ever taken time to let the Bible read you? Totally different thing. Totally different paradigm. And so I remember sitting out there talking to God. And God brought me to a place in my life. God brought me to a place in my life to where it was kind of like, well, you know, God, if it will bring you glory for me to die, let me die. If it will bring more glory for you to let me live, let me live. And so one of the things that God taught me in that, God spoke to me through his word and said, you're trusting me for things. Stop it. Just trust me. Been living like that every day since, Don. Don't get me wrong. I asked God for things. I prayed this morning about coming here. I've been thinking through it this week. Don and I have been in conversation back and forth a little bit. But, you know, I wake up every day and just say, I don't know if I'm going to live or die today, but I'm just going to trust you. You know, kind of like all those beautiful little kids a while ago. Remember seeing them go out? I guess they're going out to children's church. They'll probably hear, you may have wanted to win. You'll probably hear a better sermon there than in here, just to say. And so I just started trusting God. I had 2 rounds of chemo, 3 surgeries. In the month I went into remission, my wife was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer. Hey, can I tell you, it's much easier to be the patient than the caregiver. And so the year I went into remission, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Had a double mastectomy. Matter of fact, our daughter went and had a test to make sure this was not a genetic thing. My wife and her went, because if it was, she was going to go ahead and have a mastectomy. My daughter was, because it's the most aggressive form of breast cancer that you can have. And so we walked through that journey. This month, I've entered into the beginning of my 5th year clear of cancer, and my wife has entered into her 3rd year still clear of cancer. Can I tell you that some of those days were hard? You know, Don, I'd sit in the man cave with a chemo pump on, and I would read and ponder. You know, I just think through things like that. With Nanabug, what we call my wife, all the 5 grandkids, all the kids, what with Nanabug. It was hard. It was very difficult. It's not easy. We live in a broken world. And we, all of us in this room, are broken people. And so it was difficult. But the Lord has been gracious. You know, we talk about how we stay contact sometimes. I mean, I want to come up and visit that farm y'all live on. That, like, wow, seemed like I grew up on a farm. That'd be like an awesome kind of place to hang out. Matter of fact, if you don't mind, I'll bring my wife, 2 kids, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, and all 5 grandkids, and we'll just move in with you, if that'd be all right. That will not be a problem at all. But the Lord was gracious. Now, I told my wife, I said, Nana, you're not going to understand this. I said, the scripture says that God uses our suffering so that we can minister to others who are suffering. You know what she told me the other day? She said to Pa, she calls me Pa, I call her Nana. I look like a Pa. She don't look like a Nana. She's like, whoa, wow, you know, kind of thing. But she said, you're right. All around the community where we live, when women get diagnosed for breast cancer and really don't have anybody, you know who they call? Nanabug. You know who was taken for their treatments? Stay with them during surgery? Nanabug. And so we have to remember God is sovereign. And even though these disciples who have been with Jesus 3 years missed the point, Jesus was saying, look, God is over this. He has this. He is in control of this. And sometimes you have to be at the right place to tell someone that. I did a funeral of one of my deputies. He was a sergeant who his wife came home the other day and found him dead. That's not the time to say those things. But as you walk with people through grief, as you walk with people through hurt, through pain and sorrow, they can begin to see that. They can look back and see that. So God was saying, guys, you missed the point. But then he moves and he talks about, so what is the point? Next slide, please. And the point is, for us today, for me, for you, for the whole church, for every church, is that but you will receive power. That word power comes from the Greek word dynamos. In other words, we get the word dynamite from that word. It's explosive power. But you will receive explosive power, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. This is a point. Church, this is the point. This is about the gospel. The gospel says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's what the scripture says. And so what we're to do, I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but I imagine I serve like 4,003 churches, Don, in my role. I imagine there's a lot of people who are here who remembered at one time that when your kids were teenagers, they came to church. But probably many of you that are here now, that after your kids graduated from college or university or from tech school, they're not in church anymore. We're called to be witnesses to the family. One of the things that we did, Don, you were talking earlier, one of the things that we did, I had been discipling a man and a woman, a couple of folks in our church, and was talking to them about how that our lives. You know, it's one thing for us to give missions. We give money to missions, and that's fine. But being missional is when we get involved, where we're just not giving money, but we invest our lives in the people. So I had a couple, and had been discipling them and spent some time with them. And they came to me one day and said, Pastor Rick, said, you know, we've noticed there are some, like, kids out in the community, over at the park, where they said, over at the park. And said, you know, said, those kids, probably because of who they are in life, probably will not come to church. Said, can we start doing something in the park? And I looked at him, I said, well, if God's told you, why are you asking me? Like, come on, I'm not God. And so they went over there, Don, and they started a ministry, started a group. I just discipled them is all I did. I don't run it. I'm not a micromanager, okay? Sometimes that gets me in trouble, but that's okay. That's who I am. I'm not a micromanager. And so spent some time, and they had something like 20-some kids over there. And then went over there, probably a couple months later, they had like 40-some kids. Do you know how many people come to that thing now? Over 200, to the point that one of the schools in our county has given us the kitchen and the gym for them to meet in. Now we actually have them in groups, so they come together and we story the scripture with them, and then after that they break up into groups, and that takes place, and there's really a meal there for them. See, that's about the kingdom. It's one thing for us to give money, for example, to spend to help feed people. Let me say, that is a good thing. But have you spent time with someone who's hungry? Totally different. Totally different. And so here, we are called to be witnesses. From here local, all the way from your home to around the world. So that we can take the gospel out. There is power in the gospel. It will change lives. It will change minds. You know, I tell everyone that everybody has three lives. Not like a cat has 9 lives, but everyone has 3 lives. We have our public life, and can I say today, that's what all of us see today. You see my public life, you see me publicly today. I see you publicly today, and in our public life, what we can do, we can make it look like what we want it to look like. Okay? I've tried to do some being so ugly, but I can't do anything about that. But still, I can make you see what I want you to see. Everybody in this room can make me see and each other see what you want them to see. Everybody not only has a public life, but they also have a private life. There's things that take place in your home, in your personal life, that maybe only you and just your family know about. But it's not the way that you look here, or maybe it is to a degree. But then everybody has a secret life. And in that secret life, only you and God, and if there's someone who's really invested to disciple you, maybe that person can see. You see, the gospel is just not about forgiveness of past sins or about where you're going to go whenever you die, I'm going to go to heaven. No. The gospel is not a get-out-of-hell-free card. The gospel is evident. The gospel is relative for every aspect of your life. Today. Not just when I die. Not just for my past may look like. It's today. And the gospel transforms. That's the point. It's not my place to come here, anybody's place to say, let me change your behavior. I'm going to share something, Don. People probably didn't really know who I am then. I grew up on a farm. Just out of Forsyth County over in Stokes. Grew up on a farm. Grew up on a tobacco farm over there. But we had animals. And one of the things that we would do, we'd have pigs. We had cows. We had horses. We had donkeys. We had animals. And I remember one time we had what was called a runt. And that was the smallest little pig. And he would not eat well. And so he was usually the smallest. And all the other little pigs would eat first. And so we brought him into our home. And we would feed him with a baby bottle. Okay? And man, he would stand, and we'd let him back out, bring him in and feed him. But you know what? Finally, when he got old enough, you know what he did? I mean, we could have put a little bow on his neck. We could have put perfume or something smelling good on him. But finally, when he got old enough and he was out on his own, you know what he started acting like again? He went straight to the mud hole. The church is not about changing people's behavior. The church is not about the perception that people may have about you. The church is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that will transform people's lives. The greatest apologetic for the gospel is not asking someone, if you die today, you know where you spend eternity. The greatest apologetic is loving people. Loving people who are like you. Loving people who are not like you. Loving people no matter what socioeconomic they are in life. Loving people. You know, we often hear about the Great Commission. I wrote an article on this. Great Commission. In the Great Commission, we say, yeah, therefore go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. And people say, yeah, we value that. No, that's not a value. That's a behavior from a value. The value that we need to hold is loving God and loving people. And that value, if you really love God, and if you really love people, you know what? Mission will take place just not here, but it will take place outside of this building. If anything, this place is a place where missionaries, you are missionaries. You are a missionary in the world that you live in. Wherever you're at, you are a missionary. It's a place to where we come, we worship Almighty God, we get equipped, we love each other, we fellowship with each other, so that we can leave and be on the mission of God. The gospel. We know just kind of the heart of the gospel. The whole gospel has to do with creation. Where in God's original design, everything was perfect. Everything was perfect. And wow, there'd be no first responders, there'd be no doctors, there'd be no nothing of that sort. It was perfect. But something happened. It was called the fall. And when the fall happened, everything got broken. Our relationship with God was broken. Our relationship with other people were broken. If you don't believe me, have you ever been manipulated before or used? Or have you ever tried to manipulate someone else and use them? We're both victims and perpetrators most of the time. And then also, our relationship with self was broken. And we lived in a world that was cursed. The reason there's sickness in the world, everywhere, is because of the fall. The reason why there are mental health issues, the reason why there's poverty, the reasons why all of these things happen, why there was cancer, why? We live in a world that's fallen. But God had a plan, and that plan was that he would send his son, that God would become man and leave heaven and be born of a virgin in a manger and would grow up and die. And it pleased God to kill him. It pleased him to pay our penalty for sin, to take away our guilt or shame, and to restore us back to God. That's the whole gospel. This day and time, walk up to someone and say, if you die today, you know where you spend eternity. Let me tell you what, it just don't work that way. We have to go to the whole gospel to get to the heart of the gospel to help people understand. Pastor, are these young folks who you take care of? Yeah. And so in their generation, now they're happening to be in church, being discipled by a fine pastor. I got news for you. It's not like that anymore. Hey, you folks like are awesome to have a pastor, youth pastor like you have. You're awesome. I think I was reading your bio. You also outreach. I'd like to hang out with you sometime. But again, I hang out with a lot of people like you would not believe. But really, I'd like to do that. I'll have stats earlier when we have our meeting about how much lostness is right here within 3 to 4 miles around your church building. It will blow your mind. Let's not miss the point. I've seen it before. I got called out at night with one of the police officers, and there was a domestic violence taking place and going on. You get there, and you see little ones like we saw go out here. They had mama holding her around the leg. And they were screaming and crying. And you turn around and look, and the mom had a big bruise upside of her head, and she was crying, not knowing what to do, not know what's going to go next. And you see the officers have the perpetrator handcuffed sitting in the car. You know, hello, wake up! Wake up! There's people all around this community just like that. And sometimes we'll come sit in church and we'll sing, I shall not be moved. Well, it's time to get moved. If you love people, it's time to be moved. It's time to be on the mission of God. That's the point. That's the point, church. Whatever else you do is up to you, but that is the point. And Don, I'm in my fourth quarter. Some of you folks in your first quarter. Some in the second. Some in the third. You've already gone through half time in my fourth quarter. And I got news for you. By the grace of God, I'm not going to waste my time on things that don't matter. I'm not going to do it. In church, I look at some of you, and some of you may be in your fourth quarter. And some of you may be in your third quarter. Some may be in your second quarter. Some may be in the first. Don't miss the point. I hope God smiles on you. I was telling Don, one thing he knows about me, I'm not into building my own kingdom. I got news for you. Your own kingdom's not going to work. And I will tell you this, of all Baptist churches in North Carolina, all, not just convention churches or any other kind of churches, all Baptist churches, 87% of them are plateaued and dying. That's because we focus on here rather than what's out there. We need to be on the mission of God and loving people. And we love people because we love God. And we love people who are not just like us. We love all people. No matter where they come from. No matter what their culture is. No matter what their color is. No matter what their educational level is. No matter what their socioeconomic is. Because you know what? I've never been involved in officiating a funeral where I saw the hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. It has a lot to do maybe with what we're leaving behind. Don, I just want to be known as a man that loved God and loved people. That's most important to me. If I die before you, I probably will because of cancer. So come to my funeral and only thing, just say, his life was evidence of loving God and loving people. I spent a lot of my life missing the point. Spent a lot of my life in pastoring and this, that, and the other and building my own kingdom. They were not going to last. It's not going to last. It's not going to last at all. But the kingdom of God will. And so we should be kingdom of God people. We serve a king and not a kingdom. What time do you finish normally, Don? Pardon me? 11:30? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Forgive me. So don't let your identity be in anything except the gospel. I see people's identity in politics. I got news for you. Jesus was not a Democrat. He was not a Republican. You boast your conscience. I don't live in that world. I want to serve the king. That's all I have to say. Been honored to be with you today. Brother Don, let me give the service back to you. Thank you.